Okay.
All right. We're live from Sydney.
Jaya Radha Madhuma Kunya Vihari Savaya Chanana Rabhati Vananda Gosami Marshila Prabhupada Kijaya Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Ananta Goti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijaya Namacharya Srila Huidas Thakur Kijaya Puran Sega Hoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidhwaita Gadadha Sivasiti Gauru Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopada Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giddy go over that and kijai, friend of them kijai. The turd of them kijai, jigger of the sami kijai. Yamunamai kijai. Shimadigalasi devi kijai, Sumveda bhakta, friend of kijai. Go, Rupravananda, Hari Hari Go. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Sri Prabhupad Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hare Hare Gaur. So I'd like to welcome everybody who's joining us online. We got a lot of people watching today. There's Sumit from Sacramento, Navkishori from Sydney, Arjuna Das from New Zealand, Krishnapriya from North Carolina, Govinda Mohini, you know where she's from. Dear Prashanta from Europe, Acharya, he's also from New Zealand, Jayanti from Europe, Angora, Priya, Pramod, Prajapati, and Chachanti from Europe. All these people are joining us right now for class. So we'd like to welcome them all. Happy Janmashtami. From Sydney, Australia, broadcasting from Sydney, Australia. And so, this evening we're going to be going to the temple for Janmashtami and also for Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja Day. So there's going to be, they have internet at the temple there? I hope, so we can broadcast from there. They probably do.
Yes. They have wireless.
They have wireless there, okay. So we'll be broadcasting from there. So that Sydney is 10 hours later. No, 10 hours earlier, sorry, than East Coast United States time. And, you know, many hours earlier, later than European time. All right. So today we're going to read from the 10th canto. If that's all right, I have the 10th canto here. 10th canto, first chapter, text 4. And then we're going to talk about the events leading up to Krishna wanting to take birth on the earth, and also the demigods wanting to take birth on the earth. So we're going to make reference to the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in doing that. It's a story about demons, which you like. So I'll just read the 10th canto, first chapter, text 4. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I'll just read the Sanskrit for the text. Let's go back to the text. Nivrittatar shai rupagihamanar Bhavosadatshotra manobiramat Kautama shloka gunanuvadat Puman virajeta bhimna pashugnat. And the translation is, glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system that it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord of the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Perhaps this is the nutshell verse of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very interesting. We're going to talk about that in a second. And I'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. It's a long purport. In India, it is the practice amongst the general populace to hear about Krishna either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India is now fallen, when there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such a recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons who are completely freed from material desires, nivritta tarshahai. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification, but when one thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by a professional reciter cannot actually help us achieve liberation. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he himself explains, you know this verse? Matak Paraturam Nanyat Kinchid Asti Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. That's from the Gita 7th chapter, text 7. Simply by understanding the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons. What's an unscrupulous person? That means a cheater. Who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. They are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita their own polluted way, and people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A person or a devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam other than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from a realized person, Bhagavata Paro Diya Bhagavata Stane. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden by Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Vaishnava Makod Giranam Putam Harikadam Nutam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpo Chistam Yata Payaha. So I'll comment now. And there's more to the purport, but we're not going to have time to read the whole purport. So the first point made in this particular verse is very important, that one should not hear about Krishna from someone who's not Krishna conscious. And Sanatana Goswami states it's like drinking milk touched by a serpent. So what happens when you drink milk touched by a serpent?
It depends if the snake is poisonous, then you're drinking poison.
Yeah, a poisonous serpent.
Yeah.
Then
you're drinking.
That's poisonous effect. Even though milk is nice, but poison is not nice. So if you hear about Krishna from someone who is a professional reciter, like the Bhagavad Saptaha people I mentioned last night, then it will actually poison your spiritual life. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you go to a kirtan performance and the person leading the kirtan is not a devotee, then what happens? Your spiritual life becomes contaminated or lost. And sometimes we see devotees, they have kirtan performances and then they invite people as main chanters who are famous or very good, who are not devotees. They don't believe in Krishna. I've seen sometimes they have kirtans with people who even eat meat. And of course Krishna says, or it's said by Sukadeva Goswami here in this particular verse, that those who are butchers, or one who is killing the self, that's pashubnat. That means one who is killing pashu, you know, animals, or killing the self. They can never appreciate or understand Srimad Bhagavatam or the glorification of the Lord. So anyway, so this is the introductory verse, basically, for the whole 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's talk about the story, since we have some children here who are more interested in stories and in philosophy at this particular point. So let's talk about the story of Krishna's appearance. So the story of Krishna's appearance involves something that comes before the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is called, in English language, a prequel. You know what a prequel is? There's two words, prequel and sequel.
Yeah, prequel is the series before.
That's right.
And sequel is the series after.
Afterwards, very good. So, just like sometimes in movies, isn't it? You have a prequel, like in Star Wars or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have a sequel, what happens afterwards. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, as far as the prequel of the 10th canto, or Krishna's appearance in this world, that occurs in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's interesting. So let's talk about the 8th canto. So this is a very interesting story. Once upon a time, there was Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni is a Muni with a bad temper. Right? That's why it's called Durvasa. Otherwise he'd be called Suvasa. You understand? That means auspicious face or auspicious temperament. So he's called Durvasa because he gets angry. And also he's a expansion of Lord Shiva, who is called what? What's it Lord Shiva called as far as someone who gets angry very easily and pleased very easily? What's the name? Does anyone know?
Ashutosh.
Ashutosh. Very good. So he's called Ashutosh. So Durvasa is like that too. So once upon a time, Indra was there in the heavenly planets, and he was riding on his elephant. And Durvasa wanted to honor him, so he gave him his garland. He took the garland off his neck and honored Indra. And Indra wasn't respectful to Durvasa. What he took it, what he did was he took that garland, instead of putting it around his neck, he gave it to his elephant. And the elephant did what? Trampled it. And so Durvasa cursed the demigods because of that. And the demigods, they lost all their good fortune because they had offended a great devotee or a great sage. And there's many stories about offending great devotees and great sages. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have devotees or people who got leprosy because they offended Srivas Thakur. And someone offended Haridas Thakur and his nose fell off. He got leprosy also. So you shouldn't offend a great devotee or even a Brahmin. So therefore, guess what happens when the demigods became very weak? Who took over?
Demons.
The demons. Because in the universe, there are demons and demigods. And the demons, they don't like Krishna so much. Sometimes they do. Some demons are good. Who are good demons? Anyone know?
I think
who's a good demon?
I think Kali, because at the end.
Who?
Kali, I think, because...
Kali, yeah, that's good. And also Bali Maharaj.
Yes.
And also starts with a P.
Parikshit.
No, Parikshit wasn't a demon.
Prahlad.
He was born in a demon family. So sometimes you find some good demons, and sometimes you find some bad demigods, too, who do bad things. Like Indra.
Oh, yeah.
He took a sage's wife, the Gautama Maharishi's wife, Ahalya. So that was pretty bad. So sometimes Indra acts bad, sometimes demigods act badly, and sometimes demons act very nicely. So anyway, so the demons took over. And so what happens when the demons take over? Then the demigods go to Lord Brahma, their boss. So they went to Lord Brahma, and even Lord Shiva was in anxiety. So they went to Lord Brahma in Mount Sumeru, and Lord Brahma said what? Does anyone know? Anyone know the 10th canto? He said, "My dear demigods, let's go to see Lord Vishnu in Svetadvip." So they went to see Lord Vishnu in Svetadvip, and they meditated, and Lord Vishnu said, "Make a truce with the demons." So what's a truce?
Peace.
Oh, peace, or you make a deal.
Yeah.
Truce is more than just peace.
I don't attack, you don't attack.
Yeah. So here's the truce you should make. You should make a deal to churn what?
The milk ocean.
The milk ocean to get what?
Amrit,
the nectar of immortality. So the demigods went to Bali, who was the king of the demons, and they made an arrangement. And they said, you should carry or use Mount Mandura as the churning rod, right? And who should be, what should be the rope? Does anyone know the rope they use?
Isn't a snake?
What's a snake's name?
Vasuki.
You should use Vasuki as the snake or as the rope. So what happened is they all went, the demigods and the demons, they went and got Mount Mandura, but it was too heavy for them. It fell on them, crushed them, and almost killed them. They couldn't carry it. So they called for Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu came, took Mount Mandura, put it on the back of Garuda, and carried over to the Milk Ocean. And, of course, then they had some discussion there. Garuda had to leave, first of all. Because why couldn't Garuda stay around?
He would take part of the demigods.
He would what?
He would take part of the demigods.
No. Because Vasuki couldn't stay there if Garuda was there. Because Vasuki, you know, Garuda eats snakes for prasadam. So it wasn't possible. So, anyway, so then, actually the first time they put the mountain in the water, it began to sink.
Yeah.
So they had to call for Krishna again. And Krishna appeared as
Kurma.
Kurma avatar, the tortoise incarnation. And then Krishna also, I was on the top of the hill to help it pivot, you know, so it wouldn't like fall over and tilt over. So, then the demigods and the demons discussed, you know, who's going to hold the tail, who's going to hold... Whoops. This is not very stable, actually. I think it's better you take it away. Because it's definitely unstable. I don't need it anyway. They were going to discuss who's going to take the tail, who's going to take the head. First, the demigods took the head, and the demons said, that's not fair. We want the head. And then Lord Vishnu said to the demigods, let them take the head. They don't know what they're doing. And the demigods gave the demons the head, and the demigods took the tail. So normally, the tail of something is not so auspicious, and the head is more auspicious, right? Like if I take, what's more auspicious, your head or your feet?
Head.
The head. But with a snake, it's more auspicious to have the tail. Why?
Because poison at the head.
Poison and bad breath comes from the head. So the demons were actually becoming like dizzy, intoxicated, and falling over because they were actually breathing the bad breath. So anyway, so they began to churn the milk ocean back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And first, the milk ocean, something came out called hala hala. What's hala hala? It's poison. And they didn't know what to do. It was going to kill the whole universe, and who drank it? Vishnu.
Shiva.
And he had a blue line on his neck because of that. What is that called?
Nilkantha.
Actually, in Sanskrit, we use the A at the end. Rather than Hindi, they don't use the A. Hindi would be Nilkantha. And in Sanskrit, it's Nilkantha. That's how you tell the difference. Then the Surabhi cow came out, and they gave the Surabhi cow to the Brahmanas. Then Uchaya Shrava came out, which is a horse, and they gave him to Bali. Then Airavata came out, which is a what? What's it? Elephant. And who took Airavata? Indra. Then the Kastubamani came out, and who took the Kastubamani? Krishna, Vishnu. The Apsaras came out, and the demigods took the Apsaras. Then, here's a trick question. Then Rama came out. Who is Rama? Listen to how I'm pronouncing it. Rama. Rama. I didn't say Rama, I said Rama. Listen to the difference.
Lakshmi.
Yeah, Lakshmi came out with a garland, and everybody wanted to marry her, and she had a garland, and she gave it to Lord Vishnu. That's Rama. And Lord Rama is God. So then the Varuni beverage came out, and that's intoxication. The demons took that. And then finally Dhanvantari, the doctor incarnation, came out, and he had the nectar, and the demons stole the nectar. And the demigods were all upset, so they went to Lord Vishnu and said, Bhai Mam, Bhai Mam, Raksha Mam. What does that mean?
Raksha.
Help me, save me. And Lord Vishnu said, no problem. I'm gonna take my appearance as who? Mohini Murti. So Lord Vishnu became Mohini Murti, the most beautiful lady, went before the demons. The demons were quarreling with each other because they couldn't decide who would take the nectar first. But when they saw Mohini, they forgot about the nectar. They fell in love. Mm-hmm. And they said, wow, you should help us divide the nectar. And Mohini said, why should you believe me? And they said, oh, we love you. We believe you. So anyway, so Mohini took the nectar and gave it all to the demigods except one demon snuck in. What was his name?
Rahu.
Rahu. And what happened, the sun and the moon saw what had happened and they reported him to Mohini. And Mohini did what? Cut Rahu's head off.
His head survived because he had drunk some nectar.
Yeah, the nectar came down just to the neck.
To his neck, and it would chop off.
So the head is there.
Body didn't survive.
And because of that, Rahu was very angry with the sun and the moon. And he tries to attack them all the time. So then, the demons were really upset. And they started fighting the demigods again. There are these demons, remember some of the names, because the names are actually important. Bali was one, but you know about him. Another one was Vipachiti. I'm trying to remember that name. Another name was Kalanemi. Kalanemi. Those names are very important. There's other demons. I'm not going to ask you to chant all their names today. So the demons started winning. This is after the churning of the milk ocean. Then Lord Vishnu appeared, and Kalanemi attacked him with a trident. And Vishnu took that trident from Kalanemi and killed Kalanemi. And Kalanemi was always hating Vishnu. And so in his next birth, he took birth as who? Kamsa. So this is what I talk about. This is the before the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
So Kalanemi was
Kamsa.
And
Viprachitti became Kamsa's father-in-law. What's the name of Kamsa's father-in-law? I'll give you a hint.
Jarasandha.
Seriously? Yeah. What? You understand? So here we find the beginning. We actually find the beginning of the before you get to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. Because what happens, and let me read more and I'll explain it. We'll get to the end of here pretty quickly. So there was different demons, Mali, Sumali, Malyavan, who were killed by Vishnu. Narada Muni goes and tells the demons, hey, this is a problem. So the demons attack the demigods again in force. And the demons have this particular person who has the benediction. His name is Namuchi. He can't be killed by a wet weapon or by a dry weapon. And so Indra is actually being attacked. And he doesn't know how to kill Namuchi because Namuchi can't be killed by a dry or a wet weapon. I mean, how can you... Where is something that's not dry and not wet? You know?
It's damp.
No, that's wet. So Indra hears a voice, and in that voice, there's the message. Kill him with a foam weapon. Foam? You know, like bubbles? So bubbles or foam are neither wet nor dry. And so the Indra kills all the demons who are practically dead. So Brahma sends Narada to tell the demigods, stop killing the demons, you know, can't eliminate them because we need to have demons. Why do we need to have demons?
So Krishna can have more pastimes.
Well, there's one reason, but we need demons. Why? Because there's no purification without opposition. Of course, nowadays in Kali Yuga, the demons are where? Keshav, where are the demons today in Kali Yuga?
Oh, no.
and a heart. Demons like lust, anger, greed, illusion. Kamsa is there, Kalanemi is there, that's Kalanemi. Viprachitti, who is Jarasandha, is there, right there. So therefore, our fight is within. And we win that fight by doing what? What do we chant?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then, so I'm almost finished with the whole story, and then we'll talk about the 10th canto. So Bali becomes cured by Shukracharya, who's his spiritual master, and he attacks Indra again, and now the demons take over heaven. And so this is a big problem. And so Brihaspati, the guru of the demigods, tells Indra and all the demigods to hide, and Bali is just so powerful at this particular point. And Indra's mother becomes very upset. What's Indra's mother's name? Anyone know?
Oh.
Aditi.
Yeah.
She becomes upset. She goes to her husband. What's her husband's name?
Kashyapa.
Or in Sanskrit, Kashyapa. She goes to Kashyapa and says, "My dear husband, what can I do?" And he says, "Just be detached. Don't worry about your children." But mothers can't be detached. Not practical. She says, "No, I can't be detached." So he says, "All right, do this austerity called a payovrata." What's a payovrata? Just live by drinking
milk
for 12 days. And the 13th day, you do an abhishek. And then, so on the 13th day, Krishna agrees to appear as her son. And so, who is Aditi's son who is Krishna? I'll give you a hint.
Vamandev.
Very nice. Very intelligent. Children are very intelligent here. So, and then Krishna agrees to be the son. He goes into the womb of Aditi, goes to Bali's sacrifice, and asks for what?
Three steps of land.
Bali says, okay. Shukracharya, the spiritual master of Bali, says, no. Bali disobeys his spiritual master in order to satisfy Vishnu. And then, Then Vishnu takes three steps. The first step covers what? The earth. Second step covers the whole sky, and he kicks a hole in the universe. And what happens from the hole? Nothing happens when he kicks a hole in the universe. Ganga comes in. You didn't know that? Now you know. So Ganga comes in, and then he says to Bali, hey, you guaranteed me three steps. And he goes to rest Bali with the ropes of Varuna, and Bali says, you can put the third step on my head. And with the third step, he pushes Bali down to this planet called Sutala. It's a planetary system. And therefore, Palad Maharaj remains in Sutala along with the other demons. But what happens is the demons are completely defeated. So being completely defeated, they have nowhere to go. And so they look at the Earth planet. And they say, hey, that's a good place. Nobody will capture us there. There's many stories about demons hiding from the demigods. One time, they actually went into the ocean. Did you know that story, Keshav? And they were hiding in the ocean. And so the demigods couldn't catch them. And so how did they dry up the ocean? Agastya Muni, he drank the whole ocean.
Oh, yes. And isn't it that at that point in time, Matsutar came?
Who?
Matsavatar.
No, because there was no ocean. He couldn't swim. So that was later.
Yeah.
So what happened is that the ocean became dry, and then when they asked Agastya Muni after they killed the demons to let out the water, he burped. He had digested all the water. So anyway, so then what happened is that the demons at this point, right before the 10th canto, were looking for a place to hide, and they saw the earth, and they said, let's take birth there, on the earth planet. So they all came down to the earth planet, and they took birth as kings. Like we mentioned, Kamsa, and Jarasandha, and all these different kings who were demons, they actually were demons. They were taking birth on the earth. That's why the earth became overburdened with the defense force as we start the 10th canto. Demons. The earth became overburdened with demoniac kings. The reason for that is that they were taking birth on the earth. And therefore, what happened is, again, who went to Lord Brahma to complain? In the beginning of the 10th canto.
Indra.
No.
Starts
Bhumi. With a B.
Bhumi. Well, this is the beginning of the Krishna book.
Yeah, that's now we're starting the beginning of Krishna book.
Yeah, I've started.
That Krishna went, go, that Bhumi goes to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma goes to the ocean of milk. And he prays to the Shura Dakshai Vishnu. And he hears this transmission, and the transmission says what?
I will take a bath soon and tell all of the demigods to take a bath in the Yadu dynasty.
Yes. And that's why you have, like, demigods or their expansions taking birth in the Yadu dynasty. You have the Pandavas, who are actually the children of the demigods, like Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, etc. Who was Arjuna's father?
Indra.
Who was Nakula and Sahadev's father? Same person.
Indra.
Ashwini Kumaras. Yes. The doctors. Who was Yudhisthira's father?
Yamraj.
That's right. Who is Bhimsen's father? Cheating.
Vayu.
Vayu.
Oh,
yeah, he's the son of the wind. So you have all these different personalities taking birth, and of course Krishna appeared. Very interesting. Krishna appeared in Mathura, but it also appeared in Vrindavan. Did you know that? Here's an interesting story that's told by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sometimes, or most of the times, people think that Krishna appeared in Mathura, and then he was transferred to Vrindavan, right?
Isn't that what happened?
I'll explain. That actually Krishna took birth, because Krishna has many expansions. But the original, let's say, personality of Godhead Krishna, from whom all the other expansions come from, never goes anywhere else other than Vrindavan. So Brajendra Nandana Krishna, or Yashoda Nandana Krishna, took birth from Yashoda. Yashoda actually gave birth to two children.
And what about
a boy and a girl? I'll explain. We'll get to the point. And Devaki gave birth to the expansion of Krishna known as Vasudeva Krishna. So listen to how I pronounce these words. There's Vasudev and Vasudev. You hear the difference?
Yes.
So Vasudev means Krishna was all-pervading, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev refers to Krishna's father, Vasudev. So Vasudev and Devaki, and you know the story, they were imprisoned by Kamsa, and they gave birth to six boys. They're called the Shad Garbhas. Garbha means womb, Shad Garbhas. So the six boys. And these six boys were actually demons before. Very interesting. These six boys were the sons of Kalanemi. Remember I talked about Kalanemi? He was killed by Vishnu in the previous story. That they were also the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu. And these six boys offended Hiranyakashipu, because they worshipped Lord Brahma without Hiranyakashipu's permission. And so Hiranyakashipu cursed these six boys to be killed by their father. Their father was Kalanemi. So Kalanemi took birth as who? Remember what I just
Kamsa.
Said? Kamsa. And Kamsa killed these six boys, who were actually demons before. However, this is interesting. So you would think that Devaki, having six boys who are demons, her her womb would be polluted. So who appeared before Krishna from the womb of Devaki to purify everything so Krishna could appear?
Balaram.
Balaram. Okay. That's interesting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So Balaram arranges for the appearance of Krishna. So anyway, so when Krishna appeared, or Vasudeva Krishna, the expansion of Krishna, appeared from Devaki, then you had Vasudeva, who is the father of Krishna, of Vasudeva Krishna. He brought Vasudeva Krishna to Vrindavan, and that Vasudeva Krishna merged into the Jendranandana, Krishna Vrindavan. So Krishna is actually the son of Yashoda Mai. It's interesting, isn't it? Because the original Krishna, Vrijendranandana, could not be outside of Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. That's an interesting story, isn't it? So, in other words, but Devaki, Yashoda Mai, she was asleep, so she wasn't really aware of what was happening. And then the girl was brought back to where? Prison house. And then Kamsa, seeing the girl, he got so upset he was going to kill the girl, and the girl was who? Yoga Maya. And he tried to kill her, and she flew up in the air with eight arms and said, Kamsa, the person who's going to kill you is born elsewhere in Vrindavan. And then Kamsa said, all right, kill all the kids who were recently born in Vrindavan, right? And so he went, he didn't go there right then, but he sent the first demon to kill all the kids. And what was the first demon's name? Putana, and Putana was killed. And so that's the beginning of the 10th canto. Interesting. So the stories we told this morning are stories that occurred before the story in the 10th canto, except for the birth or appearance of Krishna. Okay, so any questions? Let's see if we have any questions online. Wow, a lot of people. Manupriti. Let's see, wow, people from all over. Narayan is watching. Akshay Gupta from America. Wow, a lot of people watching. So, okay, any questions? Happy Jamastami to everybody in TV land. So, any questions? Yes, Keshu.
See how it's also that Krishna went to Mathura because Kamsa had invited him?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for the killing. That's later on in the 10th canto. Kamsa wanted him to be killed by Kuvalyapita. Who's Kuvalyapita?
The drunk elephant.
The drunk elephant. He wanted to be killed by Chanura Mushtika. Who are they?
Wrestlers.
Right?
So did the Vrindavan Krishna go, or which Krishna went?
Krishna never left Vrindavan. But he became unmanifest in Vrindavan. He's in Vrindavan today. You just can't see him. But he became unmanifest. That means that people couldn't see him.
And,
so Krishna expanded, and his expansion left Vrindavan.
And one more. You know the demon that you said cannot be killed by a dry or wet weapon?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Namuchi. Namuchi. Which is interesting. It means not Muchi. That's an interesting story, isn't it? So anyone online have a question? Anyone who's watching us have a question? You can type your questions in. Here's a question from Sacramento. Hare Krishna Maharaj, where do we find the story of the six sons born before? That's in the Bhagavatam, in Prabhupada's purport, and the purports of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Those are the stories. You know, many of the stories I've told are from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because we have, in our copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam here, we also have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries and some of the other Acharya's commentaries. The Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very interesting to read all the commentaries. So it's interesting. So, any other questions? Oh, here's one from Acharya. Now we understand why Narada Muni expedited the killing of those children. Yeah. And actually, another point is those children also represent anarthas, which I forgot to mention. You know, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. These are unwanted things, they're anarthas. So, in other words, before experiencing Krishna, we have to kill these unwanted things in our heart. So that's another thing. And then another point is you have to take shelter of Balaram, who is the original spiritual master, to allow Krishna to appear, because Balaram always prepares. We just had Balaram's appearance date last week, right? You had it here? You celebrated here? So Balaram is always serving Krishna, and he arranges for Krishna's appearance. Balaram is the altar, the singhasana, Krishna's Brahman thread, the sitting place, and all these different aspects of Krishna's paraphernalia are Balaram. So, interesting. Yeah, another question.
You know how you say that when we chant, even if we chant with some offenses, the name of the Lord is purifying? So how do we explain that if someone like who's not a devotee, when they chant and we hear, like why does it affect? Because the name of the Lord is purifying. So if someone is not a devotee, why does it affect our spiritual life?
Why does it affect, why does it help our spiritual life?
No, if we hear a non-devotee chanting.
Oh, because at the same time the chanting is purifying, but you're getting something else. It's just like, let's say you're going swimming in the Ganges, and the Ganges is pure. I mean, it's obviously pure. But let's say a dead body goes floating in the Ganges. So do you embrace the dead body? You get contaminated by the dead body. Even though the dead body is in the Ganges, it's still contaminating. Or milk. Let's say you have milk and you have like poison in it. So it's the same thing. That's the example given by Sanatana Goswami from the Hari Bhakti Shudaya. It's called Sarpo Chista Yatapayam. Sarpo is a serpent. Chista Yatapayam is just like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So, yeah, it's like that. Like if I give you a plate of prasadam and at the same time there's a little piece of arsenic on it. You know what arsenic is? It's poison. So you take the arsenic with the prasadam, then you die. So that's the point, that we should be very careful who we hear about Krishna from. Especially not from professional Bhagavatam reciters, not from materialists, not from people who are not following the practices of Krishna, and certainly not from people who don't believe in Krishna. You know, we have people who, professional chanters, who chant Krishna's names, you know, and they make a lot of money at it, and they're very famous, and they don't even believe Krishna's God. They just chant because, you know, they like chant, or they believe all the demigods. You know, at one point they're chanting Om Namah Shivaya, another point they're chanting Durga mantras, another point they're chanting Hare Krishna. Because they think that they're all God. I mean, I was actually in just doing a program in Sacramento, and Sumit may remember this, he's online right now. And I said, as part of the program, I said, Krishna's God and the others are demigods. And they got really upset with me. This was a Fiji temple in Sacramento. Because in Sacramento, there's a lot of Fiji devotees. They said, how can you call all these personalities? They're the gods. Just like if you go to a Hindu temple, so the gods. But if you say demigods, that means less than God, they get insulted. But the demigods, Krishna says in the Gita, you know that verse? Aham Adir Hi Devanam. I'm the source of all the devas, the demigods. Another question? Anyway, how can I please Krishna on this day? Gopal Linz is asking, how can I please? You please Krishna on this day by several things you can do. Of course, glorifying Krishna, hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, offering things to Krishna, and bringing people to Krishna consciousness, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness, helping others come closer to Krishna. Another one, from Arjuna in New Zealand, is Hare Krishna Gurudev. Why does Swayam Bhagavan Krishna choose to come to this planet and not other planets? Good question. Well, this planet has Vrindavan in it. Has an eternal abode. Krishna has arranged that the earth planet will have Vrindavan. That's Krishna's desire. I mean, Krishna could have put Vrindavan on the moon if he wanted to. But Krishna chose the earth planet. Why the earth planet? Because the earth planet is one of the middle planets where there's not too much happiness and not too much distress. There's a mixture of both. And so it's the ideal situation or place for becoming Krishna conscious. Heavenly planets are not so ideal because there's so much enjoyment. Hellish planets because there's so much suffering. Just like I've given that example many times, that one of the places I used to have in my GBC zone was Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the example I gave?
And nobody came.
And I, you know, I was giving Bhagavatam class and everybody was surfing during Bhagavatam yeah. class. Because the weather is so perfect. Here, you know, the weather's nasty right now in Sydney. And it's too cold or too hot. And the traffic is really bad in Sydney, right? And, you know, and things are so expensive in Sydney. But if you go to Hawaii, you don't even need to have a house. The weather is always just like perfect. Like 18, 19 degrees, 20 degrees. And every day, you know, the weatherman is going to sleep because there's no change. And the mangoes are growing every day, and the papayas are this big. And the avocados are this big.
Papayas that big?
Yeah. Well, South America, you get papayas this big sometimes. And the mangoes, and the avocados, and the nuts growing in the trees. I know some devotees just live in the forest. And they're happy. So, people are not so serious about Krishna consciousness there. So you need some misery to make people Krishna conscious. And so this is a mixed planet. And so Krishna chooses this planet to have his pastimes. Actually, Krishna has, in his various incarnations, has manifestations on different planets. But as far as Swayam Bhagavan comes to this planet. All right. And I guess that's it for class. Thank you all for joining us online. And we're going to have... Oh, dear, I asked how. Let's see. How what? Anyway, I didn't understand the question there. How can I please Krishna on this day? Good. We answered that already. So we're going to be at the temple later on today. Of course, that's going to be in the evening, like about 12 hours from now. So those of you who are watching online, 12 hours from now we'll be in the temple of Cessnock and doing a program with all the nice Vaishnavas and deities. And now we're staying at Amritasa Sunetra's house in Sydney, and we'll show you all so that the people online can see and see all the nice devotees and their little babies and very simple, small program this morning. There's Tarani.